you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 70, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you?
They're all great. They're all having a lovely summer.
It's a good day today.
It's an unbelievable day. Too hot, man. I got melted.
Lovely.
Tried to play a bit of tennis, got melted.
Yeah, there you go. I had to deal with a tennis coach in A&E recently.
Tennisitis or something.
A tennis coach. No, he got hit in the head by a tennis ball. I guess that's what happens when you're a tennis coach.
You know that then.
He gave me a lot of attitude, yeah. And I was like, You've been hitting the head.
Yeah, that's not like a cricket ball.
I was like, you weren't knocked out. You haven't been sick. You got a headache.
You know. Like a tablet.
Yeah, I was like, and he gave me a lot of attitude.
Did he?
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, well, I don't care if you're unlike.
Is he a tennis professional? I didn't see.
I don't know. I didn't pry. I just asked like what had happened. Yeah, because it's right. Like, you know.
It sounds pretty minor.
It was.
It's like, you know, there are people here actually ill.
Yeah.
Fella.
Yeah.
It must be brilliant, A&E. You should have a scale.
The scale? Go on.
So now you're like a board.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a board, and it should be like urgent at the top and non-urgent, and they should fit you in. You should see where you go on
what,
the board.
So everyone sees it?
Yeah, no, so you know how long you've got to wait.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well,
and like people keep going above you because they're urgent.
Like in Asda or something, like Argos or something. Yeah, totally.
So you just keep falling down the line and people just keep getting put in front of you. And you're the person down the bottom.
Oh my God, the arguments.
No, but the person at the bottom would say, I should just really go, oh, mate, I'm never going to get up
the
chart.
Yeah, well, the thing, it might not be a bad idea, I suppose, if you did it right. I mean, the thing is, when we triage people, we assign them a number.
Yes, just use that number.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
So you're like number 9, and it never moves off the bottom because
not the number is in like the number of their priority, like not their like number in. It's like then if they're like a 1, a 2, 3, 4, or 5. And I do think the doctors don't go by that number enough. Personally.
Yeah. Number 1, get in there, mate.
Yeah.
Number 5, go get a cup of tea.
Yeah. You wait.
Go get a newspaper.
You wait. Like when the doctors come on, I think they should do that. They should do, because all we are is focused on this 4-hour window. They go for who's next, but really they should be focusing on who's more important.
Yeah.
Personally.
Right. Come on then, Paul. Paul's land. Has it been a week? A bit more than a week.
I suppose so. Yeah. So, what have I been playing and doing?
Week and 2 days, because it's a Friday night. Mm-hmm. This is how we spend our Friday nights now in the holidays. Recording
so.
Podcasts.
I suppose so. It gets me away from the baby. So that's something. So, what have I played since we last recorded? When did we last record? Last Wednesday, didn't
I think
we?
So.
Yeah. So I played Eric a game. Ah, does it make you laugh? So I played Eric a game of 30k. Not 40k, 30k. And he.
That must be quite hard now playing two rule sets.
Yeah, it is a little confusing. But he used Magnus the Red, the Primarch.
Yeah, of which?
Of Thousand Sons. So basically, he used
the
Primarch.
Egyptians. Yeah. War like an Egyptian.
Yeah, so he used and I didn't. And my God, it wiped the floor with me. It was quite.
On his own, yeah?
Well, pretty much. You know, like, Magnus is as you'd expect. Like, he's an ultimate psyker. And, like, with the other Primarchs, where, like, say it's Angron, he's got, like, an axe. So if he gets to you with that axe, he'll kill you. Fine. He'll kill that thing. But Magnus has psychic powers, and they've got a lot bigger range than an axe.
Yeah.
And, he was just blowing chunks out of my army the whole game. Yeah, but he wasn't indestructible. I did put some wounds on him. So, you know, with some better dice and more concentration... could have worked. Anyway, it was interesting to play. And we had a club member's surprise 40th birthday party.
We were close.
And then I played, gaming wise, I played Steve at War Master.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
a big
is
one.
The day's topic, which yeah, is we'll Defend about. The Village, is the name of the title.
Invaders Must Die.
And then this morning I played Eric a game of Marvel, where I used the God List, which was Ares, Thor, Loki, and the Hulk. And it's two.
Hulk's not a god.
Yeah, I know. Like the gods are Thor, Ares, and Loki. They're gods, but sadly.
And you fit all the way into 50 points.
I was 51. Yeah, it was.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
Yeah, because
Hulk should be like 30 points on his own.
Well, he's not. He's 17. But it wasn't a good list. Basically, it was too few model count. You know, like, we were chatting about it afterwards, and like, Eric, to be honest, quite easily beat me. He had more of a diverse team.
On scenario, then?
No, he actually outfought. It was going to take me out. Like, he concentrated on one of my guys, took him down, and then unless your guy, you're, I think in Marvel, you need the right balance. The best lists are the ones that have actually about 5-6 people in it. So that god list would be better if I kept the three gods and exchanged Hulk for three lesser people. That'd actually give me more activations and team up time. Good. Yeah. So never mind, but it was fun to try. I enjoyed painting Loki because I only had to paint Loki and Ares to get that list done, and it was just nice to use it. Because I was saying to Eric, like, with these Marvel models, and it would be the same for DC as well, each of the models... every model is unique, isn't it? They are an iconic character, and every time you paint them, it's like a test model for something new. Always the first model when you're painting something is the most interesting, because you're inclined to try new techniques. So
I find it quite stressful, the first model.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like with Loki, for example, he's got a big yellow cloak, so I tried a few different highlights than I would normally on it, because it's only once off.
Yeah.
And I glazed over the top of it, you know, with a paint to see how that would work, and it's like, yeah. With one model, you'll go the distance. And the Marvel monitors, the Knight models, they are detailed, but they're not the most detailed. But actually, to be fair, they're often about things that actually aren't that detailed, really.
Right.
Like, the Thing is just a big rocky mess, isn't it? Like, the characters themselves, they're superheroes. They haven't got, like, lots of bits of gear all over them. They're just a superhero, and they're quite simply drawn. Quite simple costumes, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I played them. And that was the games I did. Obviously, the main topic is about the Warmaster game, because it was the scenario.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a very good one. And what else have I... do you want other points from me as well?
I'll talk about my games, then we'll do your Wicked War gaming, because they might be a little bit involved this week, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. Loads.
Sure. So what did I do? I can't remember what I played last Wednesday. I can't remember if I made the club or not.
So you flitted away from the 40K forum, and then you came back?
Oh, yes, but didn't you play Luke? I just find it a bit tiresome. Yeah. I played Luke this week.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what I did the following week. I think I was away.
Okay.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Did we not do something? No, we recorded on Wednesday.
We recorded on Wednesday instead. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I didn't do that. Yeah. So I played Luke.
Yeah.
I played 40K.
Was that at the club?
Yeah. Yeah. That was just on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He brought 59 Marines, old school mini Marines.
Oh, what? Playing good Marines? Yeah, you're Chaos, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so he was Ultra Marines.
Yep. Yep.
Because they've got the cheesiest rules.
Yeah. Standard.
Standard. So he was trying to reuse all
command points.
Command points. And he had like a million little 5-man squads with las cannon and missile launcher.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like quite old school.
Yeah.
And he had like snipers, and he had. But they just got rolled over.
Yeah, you just ruined them.
So like turn one, again, for the millionth game running, I won because I deployed quickly.
Yeah.
And he steals the initiative, and you go, oh, shit. And then he takes away my rhino, just blows it to pieces, first turn with all. And then that's it. From that point on, it was just like steamrolled.
Really?
Because the bloat drones were like wiping out a squad of 30.
Free bloat drone. I'll take that one. You take that one. They're tag teaming it.
And the Land Raider was taking out a squad a turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he made the mistake of charging. He charged one assault squad and one tactical squad.
He charged them, but he's Ultramarines.
Full squads. Full squads. Like 10 tactical Marines and 10 assault Marines.
Yeah.
One with a librarian. And he charged by two units of Pox Knockers.
Yeah.
And my Pox Knockers, because it was supported by Typhus, killed both of them. And by the end of the combat, they had more than they'd started with.
So hang on, but he charged you. He shouldn't be charging you. He's Ultramarines.
Well, he shot me.
Yeah.
So he got out of the rhino.
Yeah.
Shot
hose,
pieces,
hose you down. Yeah.
And then got stuck in, charged in.
Oh, don't do that. Well, that's not what Ultramarines do.
Well, alternatives, they were going to get him anyway. Yeah. And then they just swallowed him. Whole. Gone.
Wow.
All of them.
Wow.
And then, he just gave it 3 turns, I think it was.
That's it? And you wiped him out?
Well, there was nothing left to fight.
Yeah, yeah. So you wiped
him
out.
All he killed was a rhino.
You wiped him out.
Well, he had bits and bobs, but it was,
Wow.
This nerd is mean, man.
Yeah.
So I doubled down. All the Plague Marines are going now because they don't do anything. Just more Pox Knockers and a floating McBloat face. 3 of them.
Yeah.
3 floating McBloke face and 60 pox knockers and typhus in the middle. It's good, man. It's good.
It's what I do.
He's got to kill him quick enough. Yeah. It's like watching the Night King sat at the back with the undead just they're coming.
Yep.
Oh, that's all we need to talk about Game of Thrones. I played Magic on Monday draft. It was all right. Mm. Although, I need to say, just get a public record, my father-in-law's very ill, mm-hmm. and he's got, like, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he's only got, like, very little time left. And on Monday, he went in for a pre-op, and he ended up in A&E, and I had to leave my club to go and get him.
Oh, right, is that okay, right,
so,
enough, yeah.
Because at the moment, he's too ill to even use taxis. So I don't know, if you didn't have me or a family member, well, how do you do with that? You can't be sending ambulances to pick him up and take him in and bring him home.
Well,
he's too ill to even sit up for any length of time or walk anywhere.
Oh, dear. I mean, he would have got a non-emergency ambulance home.
I guess, because, but it would have taken time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they just called
And they stopped running overnight.
Yeah. So whatever time. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I had to go.
He should have got one, like, at that time. It depends how busy they would have been.
So obviously, with the kids being off, the builders being at work, my father-in-law's ill, there's quite a lot on my plate. So Monday night, I had a really good draft deck, but I had to drop after turn one. And luckily, after game one, and luckily Nick...
Could somebody do it for
Nick
you?
Nick from Extreme Tracks.
Yeah, we can.
Who's a club member, of course. So, setup was good. Mm-hmm. And then Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to save the ragging because I don't want to do it, because you can look at the internet and you can find everybody ragging on it, and it deserves to be ragged on.
I'll say something. I mean, I watched it's episode 6 we're talking about. I do agree with you now, definitely, that the quality of writing
there is, Mio,
is well, sadly lacking from earlier, because so much of that episode, it was great visually. But I was like, why are they doing that? That's a stupid decision. Like, you know, there's so many, like, loopholes and, like...
I think the time travel's the one that's doing my nut in. It's like, one minute they're there, and then I know that they have a little rest. But in that time, Gendry runs back to Eastwatch, sends a raven, and then 3 dragons appear.
Yeah.
I mean, how quick is he running, boy?
But are the day and night up there, is it 24 hours? Is it longer? It might be longer.
Well, it might be, but...
I don't know.
And then the hound threw some rocks to wake him up.
Stupid.
He was bored.
Yeah.
I think, and those little, everybody had to have a conversation with everybody. Yeah. It was a bit lame.
I think for me, the thing that was annoying is, like, why are they out there trying to capture one? Like, Cersei's like, going to give a fuck anyway about that. Like,
she has to give it, but
she would. Yeah, in reality.
She'll use it to her advantage. And, so she'll agree to go along with it, but all the time she'll be planning to take them out when they come back.
Exactly. And then also, it's when they're, why they, and then they're fighting one White Walker with his little group on their own. Why are they on their own?
Don't know.
You know, like, and
they're
then,
scouting.
And then when the White Walker is chopped down, all but one of the, like, whites drops. That's convenient.
That's very convenient.
I mean, there is this fan theory going around that the Night King is Bran.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And then, Bran the Builder.
Yeah, and everybody, basically.
And everybody,
yeah. And so, and then that sense that maybe this was all a ploy just to get a dragon. Like, so that scouting party is just to lure them in. The whole thing.
Exactly.
The whole thing they're doing.
So that's why it took them so long to go to where they are.
Yeah.
Because they're waiting.
Because the whole thing just to get a dragon. Like, that's why he has the chains ready. That's why it's all anticipated. Yeah. And he's just like, well, we want a dead dragon and this is the way to get one.
Yeah. We wait here until they come.
Which would explain a lot of his decision, a lot of what happens that episode better. But, I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Did you see the thing about the Longclaw?
Oh, our eyes open.
Yeah, no,
I think that's just a trick of the camera. I think that's not intention. That's people reading too much into it.
But he could quite easily have died again. In the water.
But how did he come back alive then?
Because maybe the Melisandre didn't make him back alive anyway. Maybe it was the Lord of Light brought him back to life.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she was just a witch doctor. But what the bloody hell's going on? Ding 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 ding. It's going to be some stupid group, isn't it? It is.
Yeah.
It's some So anyway, Game of Thrones, I'm kind of sad there's only one left.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's been a bit of a disappointment this season.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think that...
In the same way, The Hobbit, I watched The Hobbit.
Yeah.
But it was nowhere near as enjoyable as Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed seasons 1 to 6.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying this, but it's not a patch on where it's been.
I wouldn't go as strong as say it's not a patch on it. It's just that it's nobody's fault. Like... Martin writes said books. Books get popular. TV series is done. TV series gets very popular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it outpaces the books. And Martin, like, is far too slow a writer.
Well, I'm sure he's telling them where it's going.
Well, yeah, yeah, but exact. But he had. But they haven't drawn. They're not taking the time and to draw on those source books.
It's not
and
subtle.
Also,
it's not
why
subtle.
And they why have why do they cut the number of episodes down, like?
Well, I just bring. I know they've got to get Gendry in for some future reason, but it was so ham-fisted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was really.
It's when they made a joke about him not being there as well.
Oh.
Was well, that was lame? And it's like, and it's just that. Yeah, it, in the subtlety of plot, like of character manipulate moving, you know, around in court around one each other. And now it's all just, it essentially is an action show now.
Oh, by the way, spoilers of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
A bit late now, yeah, mate. Yeah.
Well, you should know by now.
So, yeah. One of the interesting things is people saying Gendry's come back because his dad, Robert, killed Jon Snow's dad, Rhaegar Targaryen.
Yes,
that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the reason he has to come back, so they can have a bit of a Barney or
well,
whatever.
It won't matter.
Or the,
it won't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But
I never knew it.
Why is Gendry coming back?
Yeah.
What's the point in him?
No, he's, I mean, I'm so. The thing is, the old Game of Thrones is into the old style of writing. The seven that went off to get a white, only Jon Snow would have come back. All the rest would have been dead. Like,
and Jon Snow would have probably died.
Well, I'm saying like yeah. that's how it would have gone down. I mean, but it's just like just the senseless wildling red shirts. Like, where did that, you know, like, oh, I'm a wildling, and I'm like, oh, I'm dead now. And it's like, you know, the wildling who, like, pokes a white with a spear and gets jumped by 20. He's like, thanks for coming along, wildling. Like,
you know, when they defended the wall against Mance Rayder, and Jon Snow looked like he was going to die.
Yeah.
I think that was its peak. Because, like, virtually everybody you gave a shit about had died at that point.
Yeah.
And
you
thought, he's never going to survive this. Ygritte's going to kill him or somebody's going to... And then he managed to survive that.
Yeah.
And then I think the ones now, recently, there's hardly any peril. You don't feel like it.
Yeah,
you don't feel
I
like Jon
like,
Snow's going to die.
I mean, like, definitely they all should have bought the big one aside from Jon Snow. Like, they should have all just been dropped. Like, in like, nice deaths and everything, but that's, you know, to only have Theros of Myr die was... No, it should be more.
Yeah, like, what was the guy who was the King's Guard who went with Daenerys and got killed by the mass people?
Oh, Jorah Mormont.
No, he's still around. The other guy above him.
Barristan Selmy. Sir Barristan.
That was cool when he died.
Yeah, you know, he had a fantastic death. Like, you know, fantastic scene death, you know, like death.
Yeah, yeah, he saved Grey Worm, didn't
yeah,
he?
And yeah, then yeah, died. And he cut through loads of people. And it's like, exactly, it's just that it's... I don't understand the less of episodes, but what some of visual is what they've done has been amazing. Like, they've set a record, like, for setting people on fire and stuff, the way the dragons are. The dragons look fantastic, and now there's a dead dragon, you know, a white dragon.
Yeah,
that'll be amazing as well.
Whatever,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, but it's like... I don't know. We'll wait and see. Hopefully the last episode of the series has a lot of more plot to it.
I mean,
it,
I'm not ungrateful. I'm glad it's a
No, it's still the best thing on TV. But
it's just a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's a shame.
I agree with you. Like, I just felt... I had a real cheesy feeling to episode 6 throughout it all. And I was like... You know, like the dragons would, Raven would get there. The dragons would get. It's all of that nonsense.
Like the end of season series episode 5, where they said they're going to go get a white.
Yeah.
That was like some Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah, it's like the only
we're going in the
like,
mystery machine. We're going
to
go
the
get
the whole
white.
Outcome of that episode was essentially just to give the Night King a dragon. Like, that's all it's really achieved. You know, like, because if Daenerys needed to see it to believe it, why didn't she just fly a dragon up there and have a look? Get John on the back and go, we'll go have a look. Oh, look, there's an army of
there's
dead people.
There's a million
people.
Of them.
Let's go. We're like, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
I'm guessing they wouldn't be hard to find because she found it straight away.
She's got less Bran.
Well, just like, but like, just in general, it's like...
Say, Bran, where are they, mate?
Like, it's not like the dragons were trying to find them or anything. It's like, she found them straight away.
Yeah.
She's never been up there, you know, like beyond the wall. You know, I only have vision. Anyway, never mind.
No, never mind.
Yep.
Still good.
Yep.
What's next, fella?
So, other gaming news. Couple of closures.
Gaming news.
Spartan Games gone down the pan. Have shut their doors.
Never has a game system had so many iterations as Uncharted Seas. They went through
Dystopian Wars was, you know, like
went through three rule books in about 12 months.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's an example. Like, if you're a games company and of how to do well and how not to do well, that's your example of how not to do well. Spartan Games. They just bit off way more they can chew. They were far too diverse. Like, oh, let's do some of this, let's do that.
Let's do 28
like, they've had to shut down their Kickstarter Halo for Halo. Like, obviously, that's like rejected, and you know.
I didn't know they were running one.
Well, no, they had one running. That's the thing, and they're basically just cherry picking things too far too much. They had a good game system to begin with in Dystopian Wars.
Uncharted Tees, it was called.
Well, okay, that was the first one, but Dystopian Wars was good as well.
I've bought that. I never even played it. Mm. It's still sort of had on Russians or something.
Well,
it's
dead now.
It's dead, Jim. It's dead.
Yeah, and they just put up a sign today saying we've ceased to function. That's it. Come if someone wants to buy us, please buy us.
Crying shame.
Man. Yeah, and they just tried to. They had too many things. You know, they didn't, and the community backlash when they were like looking to do another Kickstarter thing was savage. People like they floated it on their like Facebook page. I remember Sharon like linked it to me.
For which Kickstarter? This Halo.
No. So they had like a Facebook profile, like, you know, Spartan Wars, and they were. And they put up some comments saying, like, "Oh, we're going to do this Kickstarter," and the backlash against it, the comment was sad, was cutting, you know. But actually, speaking of cutting ones, Privateer Press's latest one has been pretty cutting as well. Actually,
we'll get onto that in a second. So it's a shame they've gone. I've still got quite a lot of Spartan stuff.
Yeah,
I've got a big Orc army. I've got Shroud Mages.
I don't know.
Got a full I've got a full Russian army for the Dystopian Wars.
You know, the thing is if some group of gamers was to take it on, like, that's how, like, you could keep it alive by a game system and like correct its problems essentially. But by the end of it, I mean, Dystopian Wars was the only one I'd ever played. It was looking pretty stupid. Like, Dystopian Wars is in there.
Was that one with the Statue of Liberty flying? Yeah. No, man. That was silly. Down,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to play a game of that.
Come yeah. On. Well, it's died. And I think also a death knell in them is the success of Fantasy Flight is like, because they brought out Armada and that was your ship game.
But listen, what's dead may never die. So, it's dead.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah, exactly. Someone could take it on, or some group of people could
take
it on.
We're playing a campaign.
Yeah.
To celebrate its demise. Yeah. We're playing Uncharted Seas.
So, yeah, down the club, apparently in November, aren't you?
Yeah. Good.
And you could play as the Nationals of it.
So there's nothing wrong with Uncharted Tees.
Yeah,
it's a decent game.
Yeah,
lots of fun.
Also, Tor Gaming, which is a far smaller company, I think almost like a one man show.
I don't know. They've done a
game. They've done a game system called Relics, but that was a few years ago that I'd seen anything for it, and that's died too. Also, at the same time. So there you go, two companies out. But I think that I think ultimately we're going to be left with GW and Fantasy Flight Games.
I don't know about Fantasy Flight.
I don't think they're doing well.
They're Asmodee, aren't they?
Oh yeah, but they've become something else, haven't they?
Well, no, they're just owned by a big French company.
But they're dystopian. They've done a game, Star Wars Legions, which is going to come out. Like, it's featured at Gen Con.
Yeah, I see. I'm a little bit nervous about all these One Piece plastic jobs
because
the world's becoming One Piece plastic.
Yeah.
That's not wargaming. That's board gaming.
Well, maybe that's the future. But there is. But it's Dystopian Wars. Oh, sorry, the Star Wars Legion game is a war game. It's not a board game.
Well. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. We'll wait and see. So that happened.
Okay. So we lost two companies.
Two companies.
I think I've said a few times that this is the golden age of wargaming.
Yeah.
It's like we were, for 20 years, there weren't any wargames.
Yeah.
You either played Fantasy or 40K or you tiddled around with DBA or DBM or some kind of historical shenanigans, Napoleonics.
Yeah.
And now we've gone through 10 years of just madness.
Yeah.
Where there are more. If I lived to be 1,000 years old, I couldn't even play all the games I own now.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
So and now there's got to be a natural contraction because people can't play all these games.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you can go to Kickstarter and buy more stuff, but you're never going
to
play them.
And on both their like these companies like message out to their public about what's happened to them. That's what they say. Yeah, essentially, that's what they say. Is like, we competed for a limited market and didn't do well enough, essentially, to succeed.
Well, you do when the problem is you do well initially, so you expand.
Yeah.
But you've got there's no base to support that when people move off. Look at what happened to Privateer Press.
Yeah.
They built a model over 10 years, 12 years, and suddenly the market's moved away from them.
Yeah.
And now they've got. There's nobody playing the fucking game.
Well,
they can't sell shit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the latest for Privateer Press, the latest dynamic update, which is all about Signar, We're like the trencher CID, it's called. I mean, some of the comments on Facebook were pretty cutting as well. Like, people like, you know, like not happy with like these big sweeping changes, and, you know, like then happy they've dropped out of the game system, that kind of stuff. It's like, it's pretty cutting. It's
well,
like,
the problem is if you build a game that's constantly moving,
yeah,
like Magic constantly moves, you have to be invested to keep up. And yeah, very few people are that well much invested in yeah, Privateer Press's stuff.
Yeah,
I find it difficult with, we're going to talk about 40K.
Yeah,
I find it difficult with them because of the pace of release. Because they're going nuts, mate. They're talking about 11 books this year, 11 yeah, codexes. That's yeah, insanity.
Well, but it's, I think they, you're that's what people me want.
But they're even bothering balancing that. You can't balance that amount of stuff. It's not
but
possible.
They're not doing most, like, not to, lots of new units, like, for the things. They're just bringing out the codexes
it's
for
it's
them.
It's pretty different, man.
So,
like, here's an example.
Yeah.
They released the game system. It's probably only, like, 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
12 weeks, maybe. And at point of release, they sold you, like, books.
Yeah.
Like, codexes.
Yeah, yeah.
They sold you cards. And, like, within a matter of 2 months, the book's now irrelevant.
Yeah, but they the cards, they were quite honest about
they
that.
Weren't,
they
weren't.
They were.
They weren't honest about
they were.
11 books being released.
No, yeah, no, no. It's like
they weren't honest about the fact that the cards that you bought, like, literally...
The tactical like objectives. 12,
yeah, yeah, they're all redundant. If you get a codex, these cards are gone. So I was saying, like, hang on a minute, I only bought those.
I think
like
you're being
weeks.
A bit harsh there.
No.
Yeah, be a bit.
Because if you'd have told me that in like 4 weeks' time you could have bought a set of cards that make these redundant and these would have no purpose, not limited purpose, no purpose, because you have to have the other cards.
What do you mean the other cards?
You have like a Death Guard set of cards.
You wouldn't have to have the
you
Death
do.
Guard. No, you could play it out of the book if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could play it out of the book, but these cards don't work because you're missing cards. So you either have to have
yeah, but, yeah,
all
but
the
you,
cards.
But, yeah, no, but it's in, your,
no
it's in your codex.
Yeah, but then you don't use these cards at all, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, yeah, fair enough.
You either use all the cards. You can't use... I'll use half the cards and then I'll roll a dice and
so
it comes
would
out
you,
the
would you have been happy with GW if they put out things saying these indexes are here until we do the codexes?
And give me an idea of when the codexes will be.
What, I'm straight not, up from point of release?
Well, they knew it was coming. You can't pretend they didn't. They
no, 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 okay, that's fine. I mean, yeah, it's...
So I'm not too bothered about the codex, because that's still got some use.
Mm-hmm.
But the cards have no use whatsoever.
Only if you're playing... In, they do for Gene Stealer Cult.
Exactly. So if you can find the Gene Stealer Cult player that doesn't already own a set of cards, then I can sell them to you. But unfortunately, there's like about 1 in 1 million Gene Stealer Cult players, and they've probably already got a set. So it's like... Yeah, it's just a bit sad. No, I like a lot of what they're doing, and they can get like they can get a little sound effect for that. But unfortunately, they've taken it to an extreme with the information. It's like it feels like the Stasi or something. We'll only tell you, and we'll only tell you a week before.
The thing I feel that recently with GW, I thought, oh, that's like the old GW. Is the it's great that they're doing Necromunda.
Hang on. Yeah. Necromunda.
But it's such a but it is a bit hang on a sec. You did nothing for
nothing.
15 years or something in this
years.
In this type of game as yeah, in yeah. In Necromunda.
Yeah, yeah.
You do Shadow War Armageddon and then like within a year.
Yeah, forget a year.
Yeah, year
six
months, they're doing Necromunda. And it's like that's a bit cheeky.
And how many people would have bought Shadow War if they knew Necromunda was coming? Very few.
Yeah, no, totally. You're exactly right. And I think that is cheap.
That kind of dishonesty in yeah. business practice kind of leaves a sour taste with people.
But I mean, like.
I would not. If I'd have bought that silver. What was it called? That
Silver
Shadow War.
Shadow
War. And what? Then 6 months later, Necromunda's coming.
Yeah,
going,
I mean.
What about this pack?
I mean.
You look at the miniatures that are in it, the garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Garbage.
I mean,
old orcs,
yeah,
old scouts.
I mean, when I picked up that, I kept the scouts because I could use them in the 30K. And I sold the scenery because I wasn't going to do a table of that type of scenery, you know, when I've got a table of scenery that's perfectly fine for it. And also I sold the orcs as well. I mean, so I think ultimately it didn't cost me, that box set didn't cost me much money. So I don't feel, but you're right, if I hadn't done those other things, I would feel slighted. Now, we'll have to wait and see.
And especially as it's not even the rules, they're 7th ed, and their new one's going to be 8th ed.
No, I don't know. I think it's going to be something totally different, actually.
No, I've heard it's 8th ed.
I've heard it's a different rule set altogether. It's the thing that use activation points. I see, we'll wait and see. Barry,
well,
wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see.
Wait and
well,
see. Mm-hmm. So, that was like, that's like old bad GW, that is. But never mind. Yeah, as long as they, if they make nice stuff.
It's yeah, okay, fair enough, fair enough.
So the well, other the
fool
other...
me fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right. So the other thing I want to mention before we go on to the topic is, so I've gotten a job interview at work. Have I've you? Gotten the band six job interview. I was the junior charge nurse, so I'd applied for, and you know, it's on the 12th of September, which is quite cool for me. So and I just wanted to get the interview, whether I get the job or not. This is me going forward. This is progression, because I'm now in the conversation, and it means that I can't be a shit nurse if I'm getting offered a potential promotion, which is good. I didn't apply for it, but like, I don't know if I'm going to get it, because it is relatively early in my nursing career to get such a thing. But I don't know who I'm up against. I don't know how many places they have.
If nobody else applies.
I know other people have applied, but like, it's the last time round, when this came round, it was like, it's too early in your career to apply. But I just want to show that I was interested.
Yeah.
This time round, I've gotten to the interview, so I'm done already better than I did last time.
Moving on up.
Yeah, moving on up, which is great. So to reward myself, because I knew I'd just have a night of daddy duty, I went and picked up the Chaos Space Marine Codex, because I could use the 30k word bearers and in 8th ed if I wanted
to. The word is the bird.
Now, and I just want, yeah, there's something.
Haven't you heard?
So I picked up the Codex and the Deckers, because, have to say, hadn't played some games with a Space Marine Codex. It is like, because it's going to be a long time, I think, until they do a Gene Steeler Cult Codex. So
never.
Yeah. Well, maybe never. But so
never.
So I can use those Gene Steeler as cultists if I wanted to. They'd work quite well, because they're armed with the right stuff. Anyway.
I hear nothing.
So listen to this bit of fluff. So I was looking through. So this is the second codex I own, and I was like, this is quite interesting reading it.
What's the dollarage on these bad boys?
20, 25? Yeah. So, but in the fluff, in the like, something I picked up was like, I've never heard that before. So basically, it's describing who the Chaos Space Marines are. Yeah. So when it says, when a Space Marine falls from grace, right, he like, because he's had a life of inhibition, like, like sacrifice and like restraint.
Space Marine, this.
Yeah, Space Marine. You're okay, standard Space Marine. So when they.
Mini Marine.
When they are no longer a loyal, they're a heretic, and they get to kind of do what they want.
Right.
And it just lists off something like, most turn to like eternal bloodshed, sensual pleasure, ambition, and love.
Love.
And it's like, love?
Love? Love
so,
what?
So are you telling me Chaos Space Marines, some Chaos Space Marines out there, like, are a loyal Space Marine, then they get annoyed with the Emperor and they turn traitor, and they do it for love?
Love of what?
I don't know. That's why I was... So, like, is it like Romeo and Juliet, but, like, with skulls?
You read this stuff.
No, I'm saying, like... But it's what are they turning their... Like, who are they loving? I don't understand. It's like, I've never heard that word in 40K before. Love.
Fine fluff. an interesting thing at best.
Yeah. I was just like...
It's like...
So is there like this marine, like this young... This man in 40K who's like forced to become a marine and does, and but he wanted to marry his sweetheart and he couldn't, and now he's like, you know, hates the Emperor for making him leave his wife or something?
Maybe they're talking about the Greek love of like a fellow man rather than... Love.
I don't know. I've just never
intimate
heard.
Love.
I've just never knew. I didn't know that was in the GW diction.
Interesting, sir. Interesting times. Interesting times.
Anyway, so I can do a word bearer's force, because I think I'd, yeah, if I end up playing the person that has only Marines, then I can do some. I could do a Chaos Marine.
Mini Marines.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good. So I'll have a look at this at some point. I guess it's regular. This is not Death Guard.
No. So you're going to get your own code.
So this is what, it must have some Nurge in it.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it gets a bit cheaper.
And I mean. It's also, it has Thousand Suns stuff as well, but you would get more in their own codexes coming out as well.
Okay, we get like a slice of cheese.
A slice of cheese. But those codexes have got to be smaller, I would have thought, because they won't have a fuller product range as a full army. But I mean, looking, the thing is...
I want some bonuses, man. If you're a purist Nurge,
yeah,
or purist summing, you should get a little bit of love for that.
The thing is looking through this Space Marine book, and it is everything you'd want in a Chaos Space Marine. It's got, because you can summon demons, you've got cultists, there's even the Fallen if you want them, Cypher and the Fallen.
But none of that Forge World shit in here, no?
We can get a Lord of Skulls if you want. But what I'm saying, the thing is, the Chaos product range is a bit all over the place. So
dated, isn't it?
Like, they have some really nice stuff, like the cultists are cool, and the like these are raptors, like yeah, like they look really arcane. But then the standard Chaos and these type of Chaos Marines that came out in the last box set, they look really nice.
It's funny, I know what you're gonna say.
But then these older Marines look bad in comparison. So, like these are the, like yeah, these
I was exactly gonna talk about this fella here. Yeah. So Luke sold me a Rhino.
Yeah.
And the Rhino had a free sprue of 5 Chaos Marines.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, I'll buy the Rhino for you. And I said, I ain't using these. Yeah. They're tiny and shit. So I gave him back. I said, you can have these Marines back. I don't want them. Look at them. Look at him.
That's the thing. It's like they... I'm looking at him, Barry. And it's like... But also...
They're like those orcs you got in that, that Shadow War thing.
There's some models here that are just... nowhere near as good as the others. And like I'm not a fan of the Helldrake, the demon flyer thing, because that's like too Dinobot for me. Or that really, the Mauler Fiend, they look too Dinobots. Yeah, but also some of the special characters are very old sculpts. Like Abaddon the Despoiler he's ancient.
Saw some flying angel
thing. Lucius, he's an ancient model.
What's that angel thing I'm supposed to be getting? It looks grim, man. It looks
thing.
Some flying angel, Nurgle angel.
I don't know. Oh, Mortarion.
Oh, he looks ridiculous. The Primarch. It's like it's like My Little Pony or something going on. I'm playing with that.
Yeah. So anyway,
well, something nerdly.
Yeah. There's some of these Chaos models are not good.
Anyway, but we're not here to talk about this shibber shabber, Dan. That's enough 40k shibber shabber.
Yeah, but fair enough.
Enough 40k. So what else is on our list? Is that it? Multi-K sponsorship.
Yeah, Chaos Multispace. We should do a jingle.
I'm working on it.
Use some of those sound effects.
I don't want to use those sound effects, but I have got a new sound effect. And after this Chaos sponsorship, so well done by Mr. KR. He's very good. Hopefully he doesn't go out of business.
Yeah, may you stay in business.
Exactly. We're going to have our main topic now, and there's a little jingle for this bit, which made me laugh.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you've seen the film Body of Lies.
Body of Lies. I know of it. What is it? Is that a Tom Hanks one?
No,
it's Bridge of Spies.
It's got Russell Crowe.
Right, yeah.
And Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And it's Ridley Scott, I think.
Okay, all right.
Like, set in Jordan, Afghanistan, all about ISIS bombers and stuff.
Really?
And there's a funny little audio clip that's stitched into this next transition.
Okay, right, I
laugh at every time.
I'll get ready to listen to then.
Okay, so...
is it insulting to me?
No, it's not like
okay, thanks. Thanks.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by a fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
So we have got to talk about a main topic, which is Defend the Village. Or Invaders Must Die, as I prefer to call it.
I played Steve, who is on Barry's team in the forthcoming team event. Oh, and by the way, I've sorted out my team.
Which we're going to win, by the way. Barry, Steve,
you
would
probably
Ian.
Beat my team, yeah. Because my team is me with new player Andy and new player Phil Elliott. He's popped up and
Phil
like
Elliott.
Phil Elliott. So the guy who was
playing high elves.
Yes, yeah. So and our team name's going to be called Winter and the Padawans.
Padawans.
Yep. So I've got two Padawans and I'm me. we're going to get smashed because the other two are new players and they will get beaten. Never mind. But that's not what. Yeah. Anyway, I have a team. Phil bought a ticket, so it's definite.
You can play team events in Magic and there are three players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can talk. Between your team, so you're sat either side of each other, so you'd be talking. That might be quite interesting. You'd be kind of like three-handed.
Yeah.
Attack over here on the left. Defend.
I don't know. We'll see what the style of it is, but it should be a lot. It depends how much I have to concentrate on the one in front of me. So that's cool because our next event is this team event in the 20th of it's the 14th, isn't it, of October. Was that the 14th of November is the Triwiz one? Hang on, I'll just put up my
diary. No, there's an October and a November.
Yeah, yeah, I know, sure? That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get my dates right. The 14th of October is the Triwiz. Yep, the team event.
And then the October one was moved from August or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember.
So, anyway, I played Steve because really enjoyed playing the guy, and he lives quite far away. So we've met at this mutual location close to Milton Keynes, I think it was. About an hour and just over a bit of a drive away around the M25. And the venue was fine. The hall we were in was fine. In fact, there was no one to let us in, but it was open. So it was all very trusting. Anyway,
how did you pay?
Well, we'd already paid online. Yeah,
how much was it?
With a deposit as well. It was £10 an hour. Yeah, and then, but then they had a hefty deposit, which I got back. So there you go.
So how many hours did you play?
3.5 we booked. Yeah, like so. When we yeah,
he's no object for Paul's £35 more.
No, we split it. Split it between the two of us.
I love it.
Yeah. Just like, well. So played this game, which was Defend the Village.
So you hired the whole hall for £10 an hour.
It was a small hall. Yeah.
So we could have run an entire event for that £10 an hour as well. Yeah, potentially we could have had like 16 players or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
That was a bit cheaper. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's as a venue, you could definitely use it, you know, because it's got restaurants right next door to it. You know, like it's easy to get to off the M25, then something. Yeah, but it's very close to the M25. But the problem is like, you know, why have a venue there when we can have a venue here? If you follow? Mm-hmm. Like, but you could, yeah, mm-hmm. theoretically.
Right, give me 1 second. So we're going to break here for 1 second. I need to. So 3, 2, 1. So we're back, and we're going to be talking about Defending the Village, the scenario.
So
from the compendium.
Yeah. So I talked to Steve.
I'm having a beer now.
Yeah, I talked to Steve over what armies he was using, and Steve was like, "I'm going to use Vampire Counts," and I was like, oh, "Okay, I'll use the most iconic thing against them, which is Empire." And yeah, we got a table down, and we also Steve was up for using a scenario, so I was like, suggested can it be one of the two out of here I haven't played yet.
Yeah.
And we went for Defending the Village. Again, I'll be the defender because that seems more... Why would the undead care about defending a village?
They wouldn't, would
they? Yeah, like, and yeah, it was really good story.
Castle Dracula, maybe, but not.
Yeah, right. It was really good. So basically, the scenario is played diagonally across the table, and you have four houses set up, two closer, 10 centimetres of the centre line towards the enemy, if you were the defender, 20 centimetres back of the line for the to the defender. So there's like two forward, two back. And then a village also in your corner that you'll set up around as a defender. And the attacker is getting points for burning the houses. The more houses he burns, the further houses he burns away, gets more points. And if more he burns points. The village, he gets the most points.
Brilliant.
And it's quite a simple mechanic for how to burn the buildings. Essentially, for every stand of infantry, cavalry, or chariot that is not in combat or confused in the combat phase, rolls a dice. If they get a 6, they've burnt it.
So they're touching it.
They've got to touch it. So there is.
So you have to be in like a weird formation, or does it matter?
So
I mean, you can't be regular and touch.
No, so basically, every building is going to have four sides, it being a building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's say that at the very least, four stands could get around a building, theoretically. Yeah, you know? Okay. Because obviously it can. It gives you a dimension of how big the village is, but it doesn't give you a dimension how big the houses are. But obviously, they're going to be down to what your collection is. You know, of what models.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because like,
as an individual house would be quite small in 10 mil scale.
It would. So maybe they represent, well, the village is more like, think of it the other way. The village is more substantial, and these are tiny little hamlets rather than individual villages.
Yeah.
If you
it's
think
like it's like a street.
Yeah.
You're burning a street rather than an individual
house. Well, I mean, like, yeah, they could be hamlets. Anywho, so I set up as a defender in my Empire army. And
so you have to set up in your little defending corner.
Yeah, in a 60 by 40 square, which is opposite in the two corners.
Where were the cannons?
I put them in a line bridging across, you know, my defensive line. Anyway, so loads of photos of the game I took, and I did put them on the War Master group, but I'll just pull them up on my phone to remind me of the key points of the game. It looked really nice.
Key points are undead are only a little bit scared of cannons if they're in line, because they don't really do a great deal.
Yeah, so just to show Barry here through some of the pitches. So the basically what it's now the game says to be 6 to 8 turns decided during the game, you know, like beforehand. I think with this scenario, I think 8 turns is fairer on the attacker, and then they've got more time to get across the table.
So what happens? You roll at 6, see if you finish at 7.
There's various different in this book, in the compendium. There's different methods of deciding whether you do it randomly, you decide, etc. I think that if you were playing this in a tournament, if you were, I would set it that you should be 8 turns.
Okay.
Yeah, because it just...
And you can still break people.
Oh, yeah. The game will end when you... So you get 2 points of breaking the enemy. So you want to be careful that you haven't broken the enemy too early, if you follow. Like, if you were... Because you're going to get more points for the intact buildings or burnt buildings. So you've got to go for that first, rather than focus too much on destroying the enemy. You know, you want to take out the buildings.
Well, that's an interesting mechanic, because the defending player's only interested in beating the enemy. Because they can't defend the buildings, can they? They can't.
But what I managed, to do is it didn't say, the scenario didn't say who's actually meant to go first. So we rolled off, and I won the roll. But actually, I talking to Alice, you know, message him, is actually meant to be the defender first, though it doesn't say.
Okay.
You know, like, so we were both hampered by bad command, but Steve in particular had some awful command. He failed six orders in a row.
Ooh.
You know, across two turns. And so in old Revolution, old War Master, he'd gotten nowhere in this game. But
he's still not getting very far.
You know, but I also had a brigade. My Flagellants and Handgunners brigade failed every order they tried to get. Admittedly, I wasn't commanding them with the general, but
you're using Gandalf.
Yeah, exactly. Every order, but at least they got a blunder early on, which gave him another negative. So I refused to compromise. I was just
so
like,
Gandalf on a six.
Yeah,
go on, Gandalf. Easily. You can do it.
Mm. So we wasn't the most electric game in terms of manoeuvre, because we were both pretty damn slow. But I'm just looking through these pictures here, highlighting some, because where Steve had painted his stuff, it looked great. Yeah, because my Empire army's fully painted, and I quite like what I've done with them, actually.
Satisfactory.
Yeah,
I've got the end of the final bits of my Empire army there to get commission paint.
So just looking through the battle lines move up. He made an attempt on my artillery brigade with a unit of knights that made it to the artillery, and my Hellblaster didn't perform very well. But luckily I didn't lose the brigade. I managed to what? I shot away a stand, but he didn't do enough attack damage to beat
what?
The Yeah, I know, I was lucky. But equally the Hellblaster should have rolled better. Because he wasn't subtle about it. I'd anchored the artillery's right flank with a Brit with a building, so he couldn't flank it. Yeah, okay, he had to take your face on.
You need to send in more than one unit.
Yeah, well,
if he sent in a second unit, that would have been game over.
If he had done. Yeah. Anyway, I had a halberdier brigade with four skirmishers in front, which went off attacking his army. I managed to get my line ahead of the two closest of the two buildings on my side of the table, which was nice. So I was fighting him in front of those buildings.
Absolutely, yeah.
That was cool, because I just got better manoeuvres off than he did, which was nice.
See, what scares me about this scenario,
mm-hmm.
if we're allowed to talk about the scenario in general,
mm-hmm.
is that...
That's the topic.
Is that I take it these buildings can't be in woods and stuff, because that would be a bit dim.
Unless... It doesn't say, but I don't think so. Yeah.
So if you were playing like a silly Silverhelm spam list with high elves,
who would do that?
I don't know, my dear. And the attacker goes first, yeah?
Yeah.
There might not be anything left, mate, by the end of turn one.
Exactly.
Because all the outlying buildings, they might be gone.
Mm. Yeah, so my halberdier brigade that went forward ended up getting surrounded by zombies and eaten. Glorious. This is a picture of my so my flagellants and handgunners kept failing their orders, and that mark shows another negative. So I'd stuck a bit of wood, which is good. So they're at negative two to order already.
So it's only
as a brigade,
and I
couldn't change from line to column, so they started to column it out of the out of the wood. It was great, and I like catching his cavalry here that had made his black knights that had made a breakthrough. The game ended. It actually ended on turn six, because the game didn't roll to another turn.
Right.
And I was like, no, I'm not happy with that. We should play on. I won at turn six. And I was like, no, we should play on, because
it's not enough time.
It's not enough time. So we played, and actually Steve broke me in turn seven. But because he'd failed to set a light a building he was rolling for, I ended up winning the game. So it was very close. Like if he'd burnt two buildings, and he was trying to burn a third. And no, he got four stands round it, so he was just unlucky.
Two-thirds chance.
Yeah, he's unlucky.
Yeah, and so you're rolling four dice,
but you know, so playing by the original scenario, I'd won on turn six, but I let it carry on. Yeah, you know, and because we were running out of time as well anyway. Yeah, because we weren't playing on a clock. We were playing quite leisurely. And when he failed to burn that building, it meant I'd won. But I really enjoyed it as a scenario. It was like...
not all scenarios need to be tournament scenarios.
No, God no, God no.
No. So
but
this,
it's like
this may not be a tournament scenario. No, maybe a fluffy friendly.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, like, what do you need? You need some scenery, obviously, and you need four separate buildings and something to be a village. So you could replicate that with anything, really. But that's the pieces that you need. And it was it was fun playing it. Like, and again, with the fluff of like the game, like some of them are like, well, Empire defended from Vampire Counts, totally fine. But the other armies would be a bit weird, like why they're defending. But that's the same issue with the wagon train. It's like some armies would have wagon trains, other armies just really wouldn't, would they? But it worked well. And I'm going to play it with Barry. We need to play it.
Well, it's next like, on our list to do.
Yeah, next on our list. And then that will also leave us to do Wagon Train as well.
Wagon Train!
Wagon Train! Ride them up, hood them up, hood them up, hood them up. Have some beans.
I think I want to play Wagon Train, and I'm the Wagon Train with Kislev.
With Kislev.
So I have my wagons, pulling the wagon train, defending the wagon train.
You got being pulled by bears.
Pulled by bears.
Bear train.
So yeah, so it was good.
Yeah, and it's also the point of meeting was also to recce this venue to like for potential future things, because Steve and Ian could make it to that venue fairly okay, because it is literally halfway. We chose it just because where's the map halfway there?
I think
there.
They're like they're quite away, aren't they?
No. I mean, like that we worked out on a map that like, you know, time wise that was the middle point. It takes an hour and a quarter. You know,
we should try and get a Warhammer World.
Yeah, no, definitely, but that is the other option. But that's further away for us than it is for them, you know. Because they're on the it's the other side. They're going to get across the country. But we're also thinking of the future of like of playing big games there, like big set games, because the hall between several people won't be that expensive. I say it's literally next door to a couple of restaurants, so you could play, break for lunch, you know. Carry on or whatever, or finish with dinner. And so what we're talking about is like get Jim and Alex involved, play like a big 4,000 plus point game, one game. They've got plenty of space and tables and free tea and coffee going and etc. So
very nice.
Like it's all you could really want in a venue, essentially.
Tables is what I want.
Well, no, but they have plenty of tables.
6x4s.
The big rat. We played on ones that made a 6x4 for smaller tables. In fact, a bigger table than that. But you could. They have tons of big circle tables that you could put down and
boards
to make
and a, stuff,
yeah right, to put on okay. boards etc. I mean, and they're not lacking. And it was well lit as well. The small hall we had with big windows in it. Big, you know, floor-to-ceiling windows and lighted as well, so the table was really well lit up.
Okay.
Not like playing down our club.
Yeah, not like that at all. Right, so what else is something? I'm glad you enjoyed your game.
No, it's cool. It's like setting it to... setting future things for the future, because, like, we were saying, it'd be good to do this, like, once a month, where possible, if we didn't have a tournament, and also setting this for... like playtest stuff. I mean, because it'll be a good excuse to play those one-off kind of games where, like, you know, let's do a Battle of Legend. Like, we could play Hellfen, where Vampire Counts all one side against Empire Dwarves and High Elves.
Yeah.
Because that'd be a great, like, five-player event. Two Vampire Count players and one each of the factions are good.
Whoa. I watched what was the film I watched? Dracula.
Untold, yeah. Unleashed.
It's a bit shit.
No, I don't know. It kind of shows you what a Dracula vampire could do.
He was pretty good.
He's pretty good, yeah. And Charles Dance as a vampire is pretty cool.
Yeah, imagine him dying a dragon.
Yeah.
And forget about it. Forget about it. So what else is on our list, Paulus?
War Machine Revolution Committee update.
Okay, well, there's some interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah, a couple of more votes going on.
One of the things applies to vampire camps.
Yes, yeah.
So people were talking about, can skeletons supporting advance...
No, ghouls.
No, can stuff like skeletons supporting advanced ghouls? Ghouls are living.
Yeah.
They can initiate charge. But can other stuff supporting charge?
I'd have thought that you need to be alive to do initiative, and the ghouls could supporting charge.
They can only support and charge themselves, other ghouls, because the other guys can't charge.
A brigade of ghouls could do it.
Yeah.
But not skeletons.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the way it's going to go. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some shenanigans around the pivot, pivot.
I'm waiting if that evolves into a vote before I like cast my 2 cents.
I think Ollie had requested we put it on camera how we'd measure the pivot, but I don't know we ever do measure a pivot because you're either moving 20 centimeters and therefore you're moving 20 centimeters, or you're moving less than 20 centimeters, and then the pivot doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean,
apparently what the problem is certain gaming communities measure that pivot. And it's about 5 centimetres to turn a unit round if you measure how far the corner travels to become the opposite corner, if you pivot 180.
I suppose, yeah, but it's...
But I'm pretty sure in the rules it just says pick a corner, measure the corner that moves the furthest.
I mean, I think it's a thing that if you're both doing it, fine. If you're both not doing it, equally fine, isn't it? Really.
Well, people like rules that they can follow and understand.
I get that, but it's like, I mean, if me and you aren't bothering with the pivot thing, it's just simply is none of the stands moving further than they can. We're both playing by that. Then that's the way we're playing. Is it we're both advantage disadvantage? If you were measuring it and I wasn't, that's unfair.
Yeah, okay. I don't really go for this pivot thing at all. I
think it's an issue that doesn't need to be there. It's like
I saw recently somebody with a playbook, a war machine playbook. Have you ever seen this thing?
No.
So what they have is like all your models are displayed on a piece of paper, and where they deploy.
Yeah.
And then it's got all the first turn moves deployed out. So it's like, and then it shows you the position after turn one, and then it shows your attack angles from turn two. And you go, this is fucking madness, mate. You want to be working for NASA,
yeah,
mate.
Why? What is that? Just someone's done that to like.
To maximise your threat and damage and stuff. And told you activation orders. And
okay,
stuff.
Well, yeah.
But it's madness. You look at it. You're like, what on earth are you doing?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Yeah.
If somebody turned out and they were playing from this, what it was like playing a chess computer.
Like a chess, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's like no
opening
man.
Move, Kasparov.
Exactly. Like chess opening moves.
The Kasparov 200.
And it just reminded me a bit of that. It's just like taking it.
Well, I'm deep blue.
It's still just a game that you're just supposed to be playing for fun. At the end of the day.
Yeah, maybe that's someone's fun. Maybe that somebody's fun is working that out.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Some people prefer list building. The favourite thing is list building.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So one thing that is interesting though, if you move, I remember Jim doing this. So I completely agree with you. You've got like a brigade.
Yeah.
And you're moving something from the back of the brigade,
yep.
And you're moving it off maybe to the forward and right.
Yeah.
It's easy to just measure 20 centimetres and kind of forget the fact you've got to move out of the brigade.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it's going to take you, what's that, 4, 8, 12 centimetres to get out from the brigade.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the way I always try to do
it... So you're only going to be able to move 8 centimetres.
Yeah, yeah, the way I do it is I try to play as cleanly as I would want my opponent to play, and I verbalise what I'm doing before I do it. I try
to. You like to talk?
I like to talk, but like that's a habit from War Machine. Because statement of intent is just really clear. Then no one could ever accuse you of anything.
Yeah,
cheating. Especially, and that's so much easier now in War Machine, where you can just say, "I'm going to get into range."
I stay out of range.
So yeah,
I don't know what else is running though. There are a little bits.
There's votes on the Norse.
There's some Norse stuff running around.
There's a vote, a simple one, vote for a character attachment to bring it in line.
Because at the moment it's too expensive.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
Plus one attack and terror.
And there's another one going on about Valkyries.
They're an interesting unit, Valkyrie.
Yeah. And there's other simple ones. The ones you've got to put up is a spell to be reduced from a 6 to a 5 because it's very situational and not that good anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so, and I agree. It's I was true. Like, yeah, yeah. Put that up to vote, I'd say
if you
yes
look
to that.
At the 6 to cast spells, they're pretty devastating if you get one off. You're normally doing like 6 attacks.
None of them are game breaking. Mm.
No, but they're not. They don't come off very often.
Yeah.
Is it like 6 attacks? Is
that with armor saves normally or something. Yeah.
So you normally like destroy artillery.
Yeah, you get like you snipe an artillery piece.
But you're rolling a 6 to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
What else we got? Oh, Blackgate miniatures update.
Ordering of equipment and preparation. Mm,
yeah, I've spent some money. So I've spent out to I don't know. 1500, 1600 on a couple of bits of equipment.
Ooh, great.
Just to upgrade some of the casting equipment. So that's good. I got
Does that mean you'll cast higher quality?
It allows me to use
bigger
molds.
Easier.
And it should be more robust and it should be quicker.
Okay.
But as with everything in life, when you buy it secondhand, it's always.
Yeah, who knows?
It needs a little bit of work to get it running properly. And I bought a new melting pot, which is about 800. Mm. So that's good. So that will help improve things. And we've also got, we talked about it last time. I've got lots of stuff to mould up, to do master moulds when the kids go to school.
Yep.
And I'll post up pictures of stuff moulded and blah, 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 blah. They're good. It's all going well. I'm pretty confident about making the November deadline.
Really? Well, for everything?
Well, I can't promise because I haven't got the greenlings yet, have I, sir?
In greenlings we trust.
In greenlings we trust. So
I want my greenlings.
I want my greenlings.
Give me my greenlings,
goddamn. At the moment, I'm relatively confident. When the kids go back to school, I've got... 3 months, if we count to the end of November.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, good, good. Right, so what else is on the list?
Next time on Warmaster Podcast, problems with recording during holidays.
Oh, there's always problems with recording. That's a standard at the moment. That's why we're doing it in the evening.
Yeah.
We're going to do a video report of the Defending the Village.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we're going to do next.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're going to be playing something, and I'm going to be playing something.
Wow. Maybe so, you play Empire. Give me more detail.
Maybe I'll see if I can break it with high elves.
You, if you cheesy want. Bastard.
Yeah, cheesy bastard. Yep. Yeah, bastard.
We'll see. No, I'll see what we can do.
Yeah, all right. Perfect.
Yeah, and then after this, we're going to do a Warmaster Podcast Plays video.
Ah.
And we're going to play...
Dungeon Saga. Mantic.
Which you've been raving about.
Oh. I have, yeah.
I played Dwarf's King's Hold. I didn't buy it.
Yeah, that was it. That was
pretty shit, mate.
I hope this is, but I think you'll find this better. I know what Dwarf King's Hold was, but this is it, isn't it? It evolved in. I like it.
I mean, lots of things need more than one generation.
Yeah.
As we saw with Spartan Games. The problem is that it went through too many bloody generations.
Too many. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mantic's the next one to go down the pan.
Yeah, like as long as their Kickstarter's fun, they're all right.
Yeah.
Use Peter to paint Paul.
Yeah.
So we're going to... He's fully painted.
Ah, yes.
Which is very nice. Yep. So we're going to get on the camera. Mm. It's not quite Warmaster, but it's going to be good fun. And hopefully it'll be all right. We might get through more than one scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to talk to you what you wanted to do, like, because there's obviously the learning scenarios, and it depends what you want to do.
Is one person the dungeon master?
I bet it's me.
And one person is the pleb?
That's you. Yep.
God damn, you tell I haven't read the rule book. God damn. So it's going to take me a... Yeah, we've got a little well there. So we're going to play that in a minute, and we're going to record that and release that, and this will be released on Sunday, hopefully.
Yep.
And then... That's it. Next time, hopefully next week, or if not, the kids come back. I think they go back on the Monday the following week.
Yeah,
so that will be good.
I mean, with regards to whether I'm here in that chunk of time in September is still up for a debate. Still don't
still
know.
Still waiting.
Well, I got a call from my squadron today saying, "Am I? You know, like,
are you coming?"
Asking a bit, basically, and I said, "I don't know because I'm waiting to hear about my options."
Okay.
So hopefully that filters back because, like, it's like, am I on the plane? Am I not on the plane? And plus, with my job interview at the moment is going to be when I'm away, and that's another. And so there is a direct
job interview is while you're away.
Yeah, so there is,
and they can't reschedule.
Well, that's the thing. I said like, okay, I will make that date, but I'm potentially away. Is that the only date it can be? If it is, well, sack off the Croatia. Yeah, it's kind of like, well, then it's a direct competition, and it's like, who's been showing me more love recently?
Show me the...
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. I'll stop playing with that sound machine. It's quite nice.
All right.
Right. So, if you want to contact us, you can get the Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yep.
That was episode 70.
Yeah.
Back to an hour with Paul and Barry.
Bye.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?